Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Here we are again, sat in bed.
Not together.
No, that would be nice though, wouldn't it? Maybe we should do that.
We booked our little trip because me and you and Katie are off for our delayed Christmas night away.
Yeah, and also your birthday. Christmas night and your birthday night away.
Yes, next month.
Yeah, it's going to be lovely. Are we going to get out of bed? Maybe we could just not.
I am. I'm going to get on the bloody tables and I'm going to cause chaos.
Oh, no. Zoe's on a different trip.
How are you? How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. It was nice. It was my mum's birthday, so they had the kids overnight. Happy birthday, mum. On Saturday night. Well, you know what my mum's like, though? She's like, oh, that was all the birthday present I needed. Mum.
What? That's lovely.
Yeah, I know. I mean, whether she means it or not
she's a legend.
A different story. Yeah, I mean, if she lived down the road, I don't think she'd be saying that.
No, but, it's still a treat to have them. Yeah,
it's still a treat to have them. So we went to a charity thing, dinner on Saturday night, and then picked them up. And we took lunch in and had a nice day. But it was actually, yeah, really nice.
Great.
But I am genuinely not doing anything now for 3 weeks. Because
you say that every week, George.
I really don't like it. And you, but anyway, you were out like 2 nights in a row. So I mean, what are you on about?
Stop the press. So yeah, after school, we went out for dinner. We had a lovely little pizza with Max because Kim is away. Max and Kim, who live down the road, they've both been on the podcast. They've got 3 kids.
Yeah,
so we had like a lovely little dinner with Maxie, a couple of glasses of red wine back at our house. And then obviously by like 10 o'clock, we were like, oh God, well, let's get the kids in bed. And let's just go. They had a very late night. But I just drank quite a lot. Like 9 vodka lime sodas.
Whoa!
It was nine? Like half a bottle of vodka. That's a lot, isn't it?
9 vodka lime. I think I'd be dead. I'm not joking.
I don't get drunk off vodka. I can drink it all night long. And I wonder if it's the soda and the lime that keeps me like hydrated.
That'll be it. That will be it. Anyone want to drink all day? Drink. Go to Zoe for some drinking advice.
And then the next day, club. So you're like, no time for a hangover. Let's go. So they're sort of weekend clubs, dance, football, all that. But then we had my little cousin who's 18. We had his 18th birthday on Saturday night. So we had to go into London. I've got to be honest with you. I really nearly cancelled because I was like, I don't want to go out again. But actually, it was a really fun night. And in bed at 1.
1? That sounds late to me. I'm Cinderella. I turn into a pumpkin at midnight. No, she doesn't turn into a pumpkin. That's the carriage, isn't it? Not Cinderella.
You even know the story.
No, clearly not.
Clearly not. No. Clearly not.
But listen, we've got a really good episode today. So we're not going to keep you telling you guys about our weekends and Cinderella stories.
The stories that we don't know. Yeah, we've got a brilliant, brilliant podcast episode. In fact, I'm throwing it out there, George. One of my all-time favourites.
Me too. Me too.
She was amazing.
Yeah, and so lovely, so natural, so honest. And we got so much from it. So we talked about birth, we talked about the terrible twos, we talked about sleep, we talked about identity, so much chat. But one of those that we really could have continued, and it was a long chat, but it could have been, you know, part one, part two, part three, part four. It could now just be the three-way Made by Mamas podcast with Brooke.
wanted to come back on and do it next week because it was like therapy, and I'm down for that. I think she should be on every week. I bloody loved her. George, who are we chatting to today?
I did actually just give you a little bit of an insight, didn't I, when I said Brooke? But in case you haven't guessed, we are chatting to the amazing Brooke Vincent.
So joining us on the podcast today, ex-Coronation Street actress. She's mum to two, Mex and Munro, all-round legends. And from what I can see, the person that rocks a hoodie the best, it's Brooke Vincent.
Hello.
Now, before we started recording, we can obviously see you. So if you're not watching this and you're just listening, then Brooke's hair.
Brooke's
we just learned
chop.
About something called a wolf cut that we don't know about. So can you just explain?
Well, this is the thing. So basically, there was this girl on social media. She just looked dead cool, dead mysterious, probably had no kids, like 22, like living life to full. I thought, I want to be like her. So I took it into my hairdresser. I was like, nah, we're going to do this. And she was like, are you sure? And I've probably done this probably 6 months since having the boys, where I just fancy this rash movement within my life, and I think, you know what, I'm going to make a big decision, I'm going to change everything because it's a bit quiet, and this is what I do. So literally the other day I had this, well, just after Christmas I had this wolf cut and I hated it. I was like, no, it needs to go. So yeah, I've now got the little bob. If it is a bob now, isn't it?
What is a wolf cut?
It was a bit like shaggy, like I look like Rod Stewart. Now the girl didn't, so this is the thing that threw me. As soon as I had it done, it was worse because my partner was outside. I think someone had gone on with the cars that day, so he was picking me up, and I literally looked in the mirror and thought, I've not even got time to process this myself, and now I've got to go in the car with you, and you're gonna look at me as if to say, why do you look like Rod Stewart? And I don't know why I look like this. I should have just kept my long hair.
Is it like a modern mullet? Is that what it is?
I think it's like the girls that I've seen wear like cool clothes. It's like quite shaggy, and there's like loads and loads of layers
in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like because I've had long hair for pretty much forever, it just looked like I had loads of split ends, and I kept looking at it. I was like, oh, and I never wanted to do it, and I tried putting hats on all the time, and I was just like, no, do you know what? I'm gonna cut it off.
So how are you feeling about your new
love
bob? Because it's
love
gorgeous.
It.
We love it.
Honestly, I thought to myself, this is great. I might be a couple of pounds lighter on the scales by this. I was literally like, do you know what? I'm here for it. And I like it. It's less effort. I literally
it
just
is.
Wash it, leave it, put my cap on, off I go.
It is really nice. It is great.
Thanks, girls.
Actually, you make a really interesting point because you said that since you've had the boys, every 6 months, you've kind of wanted to make like a big change.
Yeah.
Do you think you've kind of struggled with like maybe like your identity a bit since you've become a parent?
Oh my God, I'm the first person to say it. It's bizarre, really, because I've always wanted to be a mum. I always wanted to be a mum. And if anyone ever said to me, like, what do you want to be in life? I want to be a mum. And I presumed because a lot of people around me was mums, it was just dead easy. It was just like, oh, they're a mum. They're fine. She looks nice. And I had my first little boy and I was like, oh, my God. And I had that period. It probably went a bit longer, actually, with my first little boy, Mex, because of lockdown. And we wasn't really like in the full social of what like being a mum is, and you know the problems that you have day to day of like maybe waiting outside a changing, waiting for like with poo up the back and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I had a bit longer to kind of like process becoming a mum, but I just didn't know who I was. Day to day before the boys, I used to wear like high-waisted jeans. Now, you know, as soon as you have a bump, there's no high-waisted jeans within the
I struggle with that. I struggle with that. I couldn't get my head around it. I was like, I spent my whole life wearing high-waisted jeans, t-shirts tucked in and blazers. And now I can't do it. And it really threw, even that was really hard for
horrible.
Me.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really, all of the clothes that was comfortable and was like free flowing, and also I was pregnant in like summer, which was just, and I was huge, like I didn't hold back, like I fully and I fully indulged, and I think I couldn't see the baby at that point, so all I could see was my arms was really big, I can't wear that top, I can't wear that dress because my bum's now really big, my legs are really big, and I just really didn't have it in my head that actually there is an aftermath. There is a time where you will lose your baby weight if you don't at the time that you want to, you know, you can and you can't. There's so many different pressures that you put on yourself within the pregnancy that actually it didn't really matter. And then when I had him, I remember going for something to eat maybe like 5 or 6 weeks after, and couldn't find anything to wear. Didn't want to wear anything that I wore when I was pregnant. I didn't, even to the trainers, like, I just didn't want to wear anything because I just hated how I looked pregnant.
Well, this is really interesting. So your lack of identity started during the pregnancy. So when the body started to change, that's when you felt, what, out of control or didn't recognize yourself?
Just the clothes that I was wearing, I was like, this is not very me. I'm not really. And to be fair, I tried to, I'm quite sporty. I don't really make much of an effort elsewhere. So like, I just felt that I didn't feel nice in myself. So then you'd have to try and like do my makeup every day to make myself feel nice. And all these different things. I just think people just underestimate how carrying a child can make you feel and how it can knock your confidence. And I think another thing as well, I was on social media at the time and there was a couple of people within the public eye that was pregnant at the same time as me. And I was like, I look nothing like them. I just didn't understand it. I was like, are they on a diet whilst they're pregnant? Like, why are they so tiny? Maybe it's because I was eating like 5 chippies a bloody month. Maybe that was the problem. I just couldn't really grasp it. So I think I felt a bit like, oh my God, this is really out of my control. Because I'm now having to wear things that I try to think of, like one of the outfits that I would wear, which was like a grey maxi dress with like a tie around you. Because I always wear things that are oversized as well, always. And then all of a sudden I couldn't wear oversized because then I looked like an absolute 10. And I was like, oh God, I'm really going to have to. It was just a complete whirlwind for clothes. Clothes for me was just the absolute. But I was really lucky. I wasn't poorly. I was, you know, I was healthy. I went to scans and come out feeling like really, really buzzing and really excited to meet the baby. And so that side of it was always amazing. But I think, like you say, losing your identity for me started straight away. I started putting weight on.
Do you think it ruined your kind of experience being pregnant? Because like you say, everything else seems smooth sailing. And it's one of those times when you're meant to feel so grateful, like, oh, I'm so grateful I'm pregnant. How lucky am I? I'm healthy. The baby's healthy, all of this stuff. But then you've got that internal battle going on. Did you find that?
It was more like just an added stress. Wherever we went, it was just like, what am I going to wear? I remember, actually, it's a really funny story. I was going to an event and I didn't go to any events at that time. I was like, no, I'm not going. I want to just be at home. And the lady who I had really bad acne, and one of the ladies who helped me with it, she was doing a rethink of a clinic, and she was like, please, will you come? I was like, really? She was like, please. I was like, okay, I'll come. And I got ready. I remember I had this one dress. I bought these dresses from Zara, and they was actually really, really nice. But there was like, it was like a schmock still, but like a shirt kind of schmock. I hate that word, schmock. And I had these little cowboy boots on and I was like, this is one of my outfits that I feel okay in.
Yeah.
So I got myself all ready, did my hair, did my makeup, got there. I'd got the wrong day. It was the day after.
Oh, and, Brooke.
And I can't tell you how gutted I was because I thought, no, I've wasted my good outfit today and it's not for anything. And I was just like, oh my God, now I've got to go back and find something else. And also as well, when you're in the public eye and you know you're going to get photographed and you're not feeling your best, it's just, it's again like a battle with like, do I go, do I not, do I let the person down that's really helped me gain confidence within my skin? Like, I really just wanted to be there for her. But at the same time, it comes with so many different struggles of just even getting out of the house.
I really respect you for being so honest about this, because a lot of people people assume, like Georgia said, that when you become pregnant, you are supposed to love all aspects of it. When you start getting into, you know, oh, well, it's actually the outfits and it's the clothes, and it's how I feel. It's such a big part of our existence, you know, yeah. There is really no other time during your life where you feel so out of control with your changing body. And yes. There is also no script or no potion to take to be like, oh, look, here's your okay serum. You're going to feel absolutely fine with this growing bump and the swollen arms. And I had really bad water retention. So my face was just like so round and scrunched up. I looked like a tiny gremlin. And I just wasn't okay with it. I just felt very uncomfortable at various parts. But there is a bit of we're sort of maybe shamed into not talking about it. Or there's a taboo that actually, like we said, you're supposed to love every aspect.
It's not about, because that's the thing. No, it's not about you. It's about the baby. And I get that. And I really, really do get that. And I think even now, like both the boys have been born, I feel like if I'm okay, we're okay. And that's generally how, and I think a lot of parenting and a lot of how your day runs does totally depend on how you're feeling.
Yeah,
and I do stand by it. But yeah, like you say, I was super, super grateful to be carrying my own child and, you know, for him to be healthy and for me to be healthy. But that was one of the things that I really struggled with, because I looked on social media and nobody seemed to be struggling with this. People still had jeans. I was like, how have you got jeans on? And even when, and then like I'd say it in like conversation to people and they go, yeah, but you can get them jeans, can't you, with like the maternity bump? I was like, I don't fit in those either. I was like, they are horrible.
Yeah.
It's just complete, like, whereas, you know, if your style is quite skirts and, you know,
floaty dresses.
You could have sailed through it.
Georgia.
And my second pregnancy. That was
Georgia. Yeah. Oh my God, the boho queen. She used to rock up to places and she would just float in.
Amazing.
And
I'd be
like, how is that possible?
Yeah, yeah. But the second time I was pregnant, I did a range with In The Style, and it didn't launch till probably when I was 6 or 7 months. But every day I had something to wear then. I styled things how I would want to be styled, which is, for me, was comfort, because I just wanted to feel comfort. I didn't want to feel bunched in. I didn't want to feel restricted. And, you know, so yeah, the second time around, I kind of got a little bit of help within that. But yeah, like you say, it's, but people have different struggles. I had a friend that looked absolutely amazing pregnant, but she was being sick every day.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's like, it's you have to weigh it up, don't you? And you know, them 9 months where I felt uncomfortable now is just a conversation, because I don't feel like that anymore. Who am I? What am I like? Not in high-waisted pants. Like, where's my crop tops? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. How do I feel good? Yeah. We would love to ask you about your birth stories and your labor, because we love a birth story here at Labor Mamas. So from the first to the second, how were they?
Okay. So my first little boy, I was 12 days over, completely had enough. Honestly, I can't even tell you how much I'd had enough. I remember I went out when he was due, on the day before he was due, and I bought milk, flowers and biscuits for like the guests. Honestly, the milk had gone out of date. I'd ate the cookies and the flowers were dead by the time he arrived. I was literally like, for God's sake. We moved house the week before I had him. It was utter chaos. So I was so like, well, they said he's coming the 12th of October, so he's going to be here the 12th. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then you get people ringing you, and you're like, oh, I've not had him. I'd have had him. I'd have messaged you to let you know.
Any news?
Any news? No, there's no news.
You would know.
That's what my agent says to me when I ring up.
Any news?
No. In the words, you know. I went off to hospital to be induced, and me and my partner went off, and my mum was at work that day, and she said, right, when you're a bit more obviously into labor, I'll come up. And I had the whole pessary thing. I was due to have my waters broke, and then I never had a contraction before. We started watching something, and I was like this. Do you know when like you sat on the bed and you're like, and I kept like moving, and he was like, what are you doing? I was like, I can't sit still. I was like, I can't sit and watch this. I was like, this is awful. And it was like my contractions were starting. So yeah, went over to the different unit where they broke my waters. That was horrendous because they gave me gas and air and I was like so ready for this gas and air, but couldn't do it. I didn't have the rhythm. I didn't know what I was doing. So fully felt everything. There was no point at all with that gas and air. Had my waters broke. And then long story short, I couldn't dilate. I think this is the technical term. I couldn't dilate and I was in labor probably from around, say maybe like 24 hours now, like in like terms of when my contraction started and things.
Yeah.
I say this, I don't know, it wasn't that bad because I did have an epidural as well. Because my mum said to me, I remember when they said to me, when I started having the contractions again, and my mum said, when they was getting stronger, and they said, would you like an epidural? I said, yeah, I would. And my mum said, broke? And I was like, what? And she was like, don't have an epidural yet. I was like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here for. Yeah. I was like, nobody is going to be clapping me at the end of that bed when I give birth.
No,
I'm not
way.
Having an epidural.
Classic mum comment. Yeah. Classic mum comment,
that, like,
isn't
no, it? Mom. So had the epidural. And then, yeah, this went on from probably around 9 o'clock till about 5 o'clock in the morning, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, and still nothing. And they kept doing a sweep. There was nothing. And basically, I don't really know the technical terms, but there was lack of oxygen getting to his brain. And right. The nurse said to me, look, we're in a situation here where I can either put you in first now for a cesarean, you can go to the theatre and your baby will be here in 15 minutes. She said, or if you sat on it, I can give you another sweep and you can wait and see what happens and see if you dilate naturally. And I was like, well, no, I'll just have a cesarean. But because I'm very chilled out about stuff like this, I think your baby's going to come to you either way. Your baby's going to get fed either way. I'm really not hung up on, I want to feel the pain and things like that. I was just really wanting my baby to arrive healthy and for it to be a nice experience. And I just said, okay, well, I'll have the cesarean then. But me saying that, I also didn't realise the cesarean aftermath.
Yeah.
So I went off, went and had a cesarean, and yeah, my little boy Mex was born, and he was just like, it was such a, so, it's like one of them situations that you don't have the words for. The midwife put him on me and he stopped crying and I was like, oh my God, he knows I'm his mum. I was like, he must love me. And it was just such a bizarre, strange, like overwhelming feeling. And then, yeah, and then that was him. And then basically my second, I booked him for another cesarean because with my scar from Mets, it didn't heal. And I think a lot of why it didn't heal was because I didn't rest. I came home.
Yeah, we need to come back to the cesarean aftermath. We'd want to hear about that part.
Oh, okay. So basically it didn't heal. So I wanted to have another cesarean so that I could have a better chance of my scar healing. So I booked in, I was on the afternoon slot with Mum Ro, and I went into labour at 1 o'clock that morning. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, before?
Yeah, the day before, like literally the morning of the afternoon slot. I was like, why is this happening? Driving down bloody Ashton Road, like absolutely in bits. And I remember, I'm such a drama queen. I have no pain threshold at all. I remember being in the hospital. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I said, I'm here for a cesarean. Was like, well, if you're more than 10 centimetres, you are going to have to push. I said, I won't be. She went, you seem in a lot of pain. I was like, how many am I? She was like, six. I said, see? She was like, oh my God. But I say to the girls, I was like, is 6 centimetres like painful? Like, are you painful? Like, are you in pain at 6 centimetres? Am I just a wimp? Like, I didn't really know. I just knew that I had it set that I wanted a cesarean to heal my scar, basically.
Yeah.
And and funnily enough, his cesarean birth was a lot more, what's the word, complicated. He had started coming down the birth canal, so they've had to bring him up, and then he was taken away. And that in itself, like, but I just didn't know what was going on. And
are they talking to you in that moment or not?
Kind of. I said to I said to my partner, Kian, I said, you go with him. I said, because you can obviously see what's going on. But I can remember him crying and then not crying and crying and not crying. And I remember the woman saying to me, we're just trying to clear his airways. And I was like, okay. But
what does that mean?
It's such a bizarre. Yeah. I don't know what that. There's like technical. I just didn't know what they was doing. And you know, thankfully he was absolutely fine. But I think even again in them really, really early moments, even though I'd had a baby, it was a completely different experience. I was in a completely different situation. And actually, I was none the wiser.
How were you postnatally? So you've obviously mentioned that the cesarean scar didn't heal properly. So I guess that's the physical side of things. How were you mentally after you had your first?
Mentally, I was okay. I think, like I say, I think a lot of it, I didn't feel pressured. I think one thing that I always say to people that haven't got children yet, and that are pregnant, like my friend's pregnant at the minute, and I say to her, like, enjoy this time, because when you have your baby, you want to be around and be present for people. You want to seem like you've got all your shit together. And when really, it doesn't matter, because you can have all the rest of the years to have yourself in a routine. And I was so set on that. Like, I used to get up every morning, I'd get him ready, I'd get myself ready, I'd come down, I had that many people that wanted to come and, you know, show us love. I'd have time slots for people. I was like, you're here 9 till 10, you can come 12 till 1. And I used to do it like that till my partner got home. Looking at it now, it was ridiculous. But, you know, I wanted to show him, I wanted everybody to meet him. But actually within that, I can't ever remember sitting in bed with him and, you know, having a lazy day.
Do you know what? That's exactly how I was with my first, but the second, I didn't do that. Did you?
Yeah, exactly the same.
Did you do it different? Did you kind of soak in that late, slower day?
Well, yeah. The second time I'd given birth, I said, I'm not coming down for a week. I was like, I'm literally staying in bed. I was really lucky, I had to say midwife. And she said to me, because I really wanted to hoover the first time I come home. I was like, I'd just moved house. I was like, I really want to hoover.
Of course you did.
The stairs. And they kept saying, you can't hoover it because it's pulling and it's pushing. So I used to sit on the stairs with the handheld, just like, because that's, it's ridiculous when I think about it. But it was something that made me feel normal. And it was something that was, it was ridiculous, but it was the little thing. And with my second, I said, no, I'm going to sit in bed for the week and whoever comes to see us can come upstairs and see us. And I didn't stay in bed for the week. I obviously came down and, you know, I had another little boy to look after. My eldest was only 18 months when my baby was born. And that's what, when I was like, oh my God, what have I done? How am I even going to be able to do this? How am I going to be a mum to two people? And I remember with Mex, I give him absolutely everything. I looked at him every single minute of the day. And I thought, how am I going to do that with Monroe? But also look after Mex that takes up every second of the day as well. And I still haven't got over that. I still not got over the whole mum guilt thing. I have that regularly.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we? What do you feel guilty about, Brooke?
Oh, all sorts. My eldest was showing me a headstand the other day, but I missed it because my youngest had threw orange down the side of the couch. So I was like, okay, sorry, can we go again? You know, I feel like sometimes it's really hard to give them both separate times. I do it with nursery. I basically have them both in nursery and then they both have a day separate where I have a day with just them.
That's nice. You know,
that's so
it's
good.
Really good. Yeah. So they're both in on a Monday. They're both off on a Tuesday. Tuesday is like hell. Tuesday is like a circus for me. I can't wait until my partner gets home on a Tuesday. I'm like, there we go. But then, yeah, Wednesday, my youngest's off. Thursday, my eldest's off. Friday, they're both in. But it just gives me chance to, you know, on Thursday with my eldest, we go bowling now because he likes bowling, but I can't take my youngest bowling because he just doesn't get it. And I can do just soft play with my youngest and my eldest isn't having me running around the big bit. So it is nice to have that separate time with them. And it's become the routine. And I have recently gone back to work in terms of like, gone back to acting. I've started going for auditions again now and trying to get back into that. But in a case of the day, like that was my week. That was what my day consisted of, making sure the boys were okay and you know, going off and planning the day somewhere.
Yeah. It's interesting that you talk about the circus, George, because obviously had the same thing, didn't we? Mine are exactly the same age apart as yours too. So I had two at eight, you know, one was 18 months, one was a newborn. And like for ages, you're just thinking, how is this even going to be possible? And then you realize like new baby's just got to come with you on your chest. The other one's in the pram or trying to drag them down the street. And it is a fucking circus. And that's what it is. You're just surviving day to day, aren't you, George?
Yeah. Was it a conscious decision to have them really close together? Or was it just...
No, it was a conscious... I fully made this decision. I fully made the decision, which is absolutely mind-blowing. But even like on days when the other one is at nursery, I literally think, one child, so easy. We're having a ball today. I only have to think about your clothes. I only have to bring your bag. But having said that, it's the most amazing chaos I've ever known. They make me laugh so much together. They're so different. They're like, literally like me and their dad, we've got one of each. So all the things that like I annoy their dad about, my eldest will get annoyed with my youngest about. You know, like when they just do annoying things, you can see it.
Like an old married couple.
Yeah. I love it. I was going to say, Zoe's, both of them are now at school and it's so nice, isn't it? Because they're so close in age. Like mine are nearly 3 years apart. So they're at very different stages. But I see Luna and Kit and I'm like, oh my God, it's actually the chaos. It's chaos for a bit, isn't it? And then all of a sudden it kind of just comes together.
They fight all the time, as in, all day long, I just see them doing this. They're just nudging, pushing, shoving. But then I find them together, like I found them together last night and they were just chatting in Kit's room and Luna was going, so, okay, that's it then. I'm going to move into this room with you, and then we're going to turn my room into like a cozy sofa room. And Kit was like, yeah, you go chat to mummy. So they'd like planned that they wanted
something.
To live. Obviously by the morning, they fucking hate each other again. Yeah. And they're like, absolutely no way. But for that split second, I've got two little best mates that are only a year apart in school. And it does make it easier. Yeah. This first bit, when does Mex go to school?
He's October, so he's not till next year.
So it's, you've got another year and a half.
And then they are like yours. They'll be a year apart. But I see that now. I do see... I see them conniving, like they're like, I see them like cooking up a plan of like how to sabotage my day, or they'll blame each other. My eldest blames my youngest for so much, and I'll say, who's done that? And I'll be like, Roe. And I was like, Mom, Roe, have you done it? He'll be like, no. And I'm like, who's done it then? And I have to tell Max, I say, I'll ring the policeman and they'll look at the cameras. Okay, it was me. And honestly, the things that I say to them, they probably think, when he actually understands that actually it means nothing. You know, when you get all your words muddled up when you're telling them off. Like, I do that all the time. And one day he's going to look at me and go, Mum, stop.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
It's not
about?
True. And then all your tactics are out the window. Out the window. That's what I find. Yeah.
I do remember when my youngest turned one, and I remember crying my eyes out because I thought, oh my God, I've struggled for a year. I've literally struggled every single day for a year. Not like, oh my God, today's been a struggle, in terms of like the constant battle of the washing, the feeding, the making sure everyone's got everything. And it's been really, really hard for a full year. And that year's just gone like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God. But it's like people say, you know, this bit is the chaotic bit. And in when they're 5 and they're 6 or 7 and 8 or whatever they are, they'll go on holiday and, you know, they'll play together. They entertain each other, which they do entertain each other, to be fair. They're football mad, so they're just constantly kicking the ball around my house. But they do entertain each other and they do love each other. And I hear my eldest, they can't wait to wake each other up in the morning. And I'm like, at the minute, it's horrendous. They're both in my bed.
Yeah, let's talk about the sleeping, because I've seen some posts on social media, Brooke, and bless you. No one's having much sleep.
No
in
one's
having
sleep.
Are they? No.
This is another thing. We had Mex, and when we decided to have another baby, at that time, I thought I'd boxed it. He slept, he was amazing. He was really, really well behaved. As soon as I had my second, he just turned into terrible twos. I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And then he wasn't sleeping because he wanted to see what was going on in my room, because the baby was in my room. Then they're both in the same room. So they're both in the same room now. They both have the same room.
That's
and
cute.
Yeah, it was all fine. Everyone slept. Everyone was having a really good night's sleep in their own bed until Christmas when I went on holiday. And as soon as I got home, it's just been absolute hell. One thing I have done is changed my youngest bed. So it was a cot, but I've made it into a cot bed now, but the same as his brother's. So that I thought a lot of it might have been that he was feeling trapped and he couldn't get out. So now he can get out. But like now he can get out. I woke up this morning and he's here. And I'm like, how have you got in this bed? When did you? He comes down the hall, bless him. He looks like a little advert. He comes down the hall with his teddies, no matter what time of the night it is, with his full teddies, trotting down and gets in bed. And then I've got this one which is Max, who's 3, who generally has night terrors, who's absolutely kicking off. Then we've got Keanu, who's getting up for football in 2 hours, and me, who's literally in the middle thinking, I'm glad I've not got long hair anymore, because you would really be on it, I wouldn't be able to move. Like, it's just ridiculous. Honestly.
Have you thought about putting them in a double bed? Because we hear that quite a lot, Brooke.
The fact that they
want to be, I found with my two, that the minute they went, they did a period of being in a double bed together, and it was just lovely for them because
they
could almost,
they
loved it. They've got each other. They've got someone else there, so they don't have to get in ours.
I was going
to
say, we also had like this paediatrician a paediatrician on, like a while ago. And she actually said, like, think like if my partner's away, I don't sleep. Yeah. Properly. I always sleep better like next to somebody, and like they're the same. And so if they've got a sibling, it is like, I won't be doing it. Mine will kill each other and probably squash each other. But yeah,
you'll
like
sleep
maybe.
Right, don't they? So,
well, I was at a children's party the other week and I was telling the girls about it and I was complaining. And one of the girls was like, well, it's not going to be forever. Yeah. And this whole thought process of what I'd had in my head was literally like, no, it's not going to be forever. So I've kind of relaxed a lot on that matter now. That was the only thing.
That comment, it's like, well, I don't care, it's like it's happening now, and it's really pissing me off. So you like,
but they did actually say about the double bed. Now I'm a bit pedantic like this, because I think, well, everyone needs their own bed, everyone needs their own space,
right?
And a double bed, I just don't know how I'd feel about, I just don't know. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Because then, to be fair, their cousin come and slept the other week, come to stay, and Gray and Mex was going to be in the spare room, but Monroe was having none of that because he couldn't see what was going on in that room. So then I said, let's put them all in the spare room.
Yeah,
that just was hell. So then we put them all in. Then I ended up being on the absolute ceiling. Everyone was in trouble and I'll go and sleep like this. I was like, nobody is asleep. But it's once you've got over one hurdle, there's another one. And that's just what it is. And my partner says it to me all the time, that he's really good at keeping his patience, and he's literally like so chilled and so laid back. And I'll be like, but why are they doing this? And he'll be like, but Brooke is like, they're 2 and they're 3.
Yeah, it's true.
That's
who's good cop? Who's good cop and who's bad cop?
He's a good cop always. Always. Really? I keep pointing, he's not here. I just refer to I'm always bad cop.
Are you strict?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I'm strict. I don't think I'm strict. I just don't like it when I do try and pick my battles, but then some days I think, I've got these clothes out, I've ironed them for you, and now you just want to wear a football kit and we're going outside and it's cold. So no, you can't wear your shorts. You're going to put this on and we're going to go out. I don't want to wear it. And that's just, but then they both, if one of them's got a kit on, the other one wants a kit on. Yeah. Like they're literally like my youngest, 2 minutes apart from my eldest with everything.
Yeah, we have that. Yeah, the football kit battle. Bloody it's football like, I've got kits. All these lovely clothes for you. Don't you want to wear them?
Although, right, the best thing about football kits, I was mortified when my son started wearing football kits, and now my daughter does as well. They don't require ironing.
No, they don't. And do you know what? No. They wash and dry really well.
Yes,
they dry within
exactly.
minutes. Yeah, I'm here for that. I am here for that.
I'm like to my daughter, do you want some Astros?
Yeah.
Should I get you some Astros? And she's like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, brilliant, because these girls' blouses are an absolute pain in the arse.
Pain in the arse, yeah,
football
exactly.
Kits all the way.
It's literally a talking clothes. The kids are constantly in, have you ever been to Asda range?
They George?
George.
Love it.
They're unisex
so
range.
For boys.
So, so I've literally, when last week my friend was in there, she sent me something. I'd literally get the boys' summer clothes from there because, like, there's just... They wash nice, they're really cheap, and it's just really easy. And I dress them the same as well, which is also another thing that can just is an added pressure. It's not necessary, but they just want to be dressed the same now as well. Yeah. Whatever the other one's got on, they want to have on as well. So I just get them the same clothes. But yeah, it's either they're either in their leggings or their little cycling shorts from Asda with an oversized t-shirt or their little Zara tracksuits.
The little Zara tracksuits are amazing. Before we kind of wrap up, because we've kept you for a very long time, your relationship, how do you think it's changed with your fiance since you've had the boys? And how do you guys make time for each other?
This is a constant conversation in our house because, like say, as the boys change, you know, we change, our situations change. Anybody that says their relationship's exactly the same is lying, because it's not. It's really, really hard. I think I take a lot of my stress out on him because he's not necessarily here all day to see what goes on, especially on a Tuesday. On a Tuesday, it's game over because I've had them both all day, but he's been at work all day. So he'll come in and he'll be like, and I'm like, there you go, I just need a minute.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it is a constant thing of, and we say it all the time, you know, we need to take time, we need to go for dinner tonight, or we need to do this. And the time comes where we can like do it. And I go, just want to watch Happy Valley, you know? And, you know, I think it is the time, as soon as the kids go to bed, we sit down, both of us, and we're like, we just both have like a deep breath. He'll go off and watch the football for an hour, and I'll go off and scroll up and down my Instagram or whatever it is that I want to do without having to answer to anybody. But I think the main thing is, you know, I look at him, and for everything that I get annoyed at him with, he's the best dad to my children, you know, and that's what kind of, I think, is a massive thing, is that no matter what's going on within the day, no matter how stressful his day's been or my day's been, you know, we're both here to be parents and to be the best parents. And like I say, he's the one that will sit me down sometimes and be like, right, what's going on? Like, why are you so stressed? Why can't you wear them? And I'm like, because I've ironed this 4 times today. And he'll piece it all together for me sometimes. And I think I need that. But it has changed. And, you know, I think a lot of our relationship was coming home from work, going to the shopping centre, having something to eat, going shopping, going to cinema, all the things that essentially you can't do breezily with children. But then you find different things that you enjoy doing together. And then like a lot of how, I honestly say, when I'm at my absolute happiest, and you probably agree as well, is we go on this walk near our house and we'll go and pick the kids up from nursery, it'll be on a Tuesday or whatever, and we'll go off. And it's easy for the boys. There's no hills. They can't fall anywhere. It's just, they'll just go off and we'll just walk as well. And I think that for me is the best time, where like everyone's free. no one's really on the phones, everything's like back at the car, and it's only like a 10 minute walk. It literally is nothing, but it kind of resets us a little bit as well. And just like, it's hard. It's hard being a parent. It is. And I think people don't, you know, as honest as like people are when we do podcasts like this, and I think it's amazing that you girls are doing it, because I think it is a conversation that people need to hear and different opinions. Because if you've got, for instance, if you've got a nanny, then your relationship may still be the same, because you've got that support network where you can say, actually, can you just watch the children while we have this conversation? Whereas I'm still trying to finish off conversations. Or if your children are in school, you know, and say, for instance, you have a day off, there's so many different things that you've got to obviously weigh up. And
you've got to work
totally,
at it.
Yeah,
you've got to
totally
work
absolutely.
Dependent on the situation.
And I love that you said that, you know, it's going for a walk for 10 minutes that resets you, because there's so much talk about date nights and all of this kind of stuff, and actually that's not always possible, and it's not always what you need. Sometimes it's just like the small things that actually, small things consistently that can keep you kind of like communicating and together.
When are you going back to Corrie? Because I miss
are you not going to minute. Again, kids, it's hard, because I would definitely have to get like a nanny or like an au pair or somebody to help me with the school run. And I just think at the minute, I also want to challenge myself a little bit. And I love Corrie, it's my home and I love everybody there. But I just think I need things that are not consistent. I need jobs that are 2 days here where I can sort the boys out. And, you know, my mum works, she works shifts, so she's not always on hand. And it's just a juggle. It's just a massive juggle. And you guys will know more than obviously anyone. You come last. Within your family, the mums come last. And, you know, I do a lot on social media now, which is doable. On a Monday, like this is doable. I've loved nothing more. But if you said to me, Brooke, you need to come to London for 3 hours, I'd be like, girls, can't come.
Can't do it. Yeah.
So a lot of now what I do is just like adapting around the kids, really. But I love Corrie. I really, really do.
We always ask our guests for the best piece of advice that they've ever been given as a parent, or like a piece of advice you might give your mate when they're pregnant.
Mine has always been, will always be, a lot of people have children, but not everybody is your baby's mum. Basically, it means that everybody can be a mum, but not everybody's your child's mum.
Yeah.
So as in, like, you know best. Your friend could have 5 kids, but she's not your baby's mum. You know what is right for your baby.
Yes, I love it. And your diehard products, the ones that you absolutely can't live without, brands that you love, things that you use day to day with the kids, for you.
Early days, the prep machine from Tommy Tipper.
Yes.
My lifesaver, absolute lifesaver, especially with my second, because I had so much going on with my first that it was just easy. My second, a nanny monitor. Have you heard of them? They're basically, it's just a brand of monitor, but they tell you like when they wake up, they tell you like when they've moved, whether they've like turned around.
Is it video?
Phone. Yeah.
Video one.
Wow. So they're called a nanny monitors. Baby wipes. I mean, and that's not really a product, but it just gets me through life.
Which
brand? Baby wipes. The ones from Aldi.
Oh, yeah.
Nappies and wipes from Aldi are the ones.
Agree.
Where's your hoodie from? That's just two friends
sister
asking
stories. Do you know what's bizarre? Gorgeous. Do you know whose brand this is? You know, Claudia Fogarty has just been in Love Island.
Yes.
And her sister, Danielle, they did this like a few years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, this is theirs, but they have it in really nice colours. But yeah, I just got this one on today.
So
thank
nice.
You. Literally, I've hoodies and tracksuits. That's all the bloody living. Cats.
Yes.
And I don't think I have
Batman
any
headphones.
Others.
And Batman headphones.
Honestly. I can't even deal.
Brooke, it's been so lovely coming on. You were absolutely wonderful. And do you know what? I think from both Georgia and I, thank you for being so real on socials, because you definitely don't dress it up. And the fact that you backed into a bollard the other day after also filling up your car with petrol, not diesel.
Can you deal with that?
I just wanted to give you the biggest
hug. Not only did I back into it, I reversed. I drove over it, reversed back over it, and there was like people looking, like none of us said anything. I didn't say anything, they didn't say anything, and I just drove off and cried. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, it makes me feel so much more normal.
Honestly, if you want to feel better about your life, follow my Instagram, because I'll put up my daily nonsense that I put up with, because it's, you can't make crap of it up. You honestly can't.
Thank you.
Love it.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get you back on in about 10 years when we re-listen to this clip where we go, yeah, well, once they get to 5 and 6 and 7, it'll be absolutely fine. Then they'll be on as teenagers and we're going, what the fuck is going on?
Thank you, girls. Honestly, thanks, I've had a really good time.
Thank you. It's been great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, we told you, didn't we? But what an incredible conversation. We all loved that, didn't we?
She's just like so great. And you know, we always expect our guests to be really honest when they come on here. And it's not that easy, is it, to be, you know, to be really honest and lay all your cards on the table. But I think that she did exactly that. And thank you. Thank you, Brooke. Thank you for coming on and being honest and, you know, showing that it's not always easy. No matter who you are and what's going on, we all really do struggle. At different times.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it's fine to say that you're struggling. And I think we keep reiterating this, that we hear it so much. I mean, it's not just our guests on the podcast. The DMs that come in every single day saying, people just messaging us being like, can you help me, girls? I need some advice. I'm not coping with this. Or I'm finding this part really, really tricky. And, you know, I've got no one to talk to. It's amazing how isolating you can feel when you become a parent. And actually having people like Brooke on to really kind of, you know, blow it out the water and be like, parenting is hard. It is amazing, but it's also really hard. So can we talk about all of it? We couldn't do it without guests like Brooke. So again, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you guys for listening. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow.
Yeah, please do. And actually, I heard someone say this on their podcast. If you keep subscribing and following, we'll get better guests. So ultimately, it's for you guys as well. It's in your interest. And if you have got any suggestions for guests, or if you've got any feedback on this podcast, then please do drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.